On it. I want to, if you can turn your Bibles to Ephesians 6 before the band is going to minister a song. Oh, I need to release the kids. My, I forgot. Pre-kindergarten, first grade, all y'all. Who's going with them? Sorry. Have fun for 20 minutes. Somebody else help me do that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I want to encourage you, this so familiar passage, because I'm only going to do about 15 minutes here, whatever, of I want to encourage you to reread this afresh, to listen to it in your spirit and your hearts. There's some important things here at the end of this glorious book. Paul says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers and over this present age of darkness, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Let me say again in 12, for we do not wrestle, contend against, fight against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling and fighting and contending against rulers and against authorities and against cosmic powers and over the present darkness and over spiritual forces of evil. Clearly a full, elaborate kingdom of darkness that involves possibly millions, if not billions, of fallen angels. Therefore, 13, take up, because of this, take up the whole armor of God. Believers, take it up that you may be able to withstand or to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand. Three times there, 2 and 13, to withstand, to stand, and then again, stand firm. Believer, you need to stand firm, therefore, with three things primarily, fastened with the belt of truth, putting on a breastplate of righteousness, and having your shoes fit with the readiness that's given by the gospel of peace. Stand with these things. Truth, girded and guarded in truth, putting on a breastplate of righteousness, and having a shoes fitted with a readiness, a missional readiness with the gospel of peace. Then, three things, in all circumstances. Those are generally what you stand in. Truth, righteousness, and a readiness for mission in the gospel. Then in all circumstances, each specific time, everything that's going to come against you, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts, fiery arrows, and missiles of the evil one. And take up the helmet of salvation, and you need to be there with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and with all supplication. Powerful passage. As we've said before, this book is, it starts with where we are seated. We're seated in Christ, seated in Christ. It's 2-3 chapters. It's in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Then it moves in 4 and 5 to the practical. We got to walk now. You got to walk from your seated position, stay seated in Christ, walk this out. Walk this out is the middle of this book. And then he ends after the practical walking out, I'm heavenly seated in Christ. That has ramification on I'm manifesting that in marriage, in child rearing, in holiness, temptation. I'm walking this out in the faith. Then lastly, he says, I want you to stand. You're going to stand. Because this is not just about you being seated. It's not just about you walking out this faith. You've got an enemy. You've got a real enemy I want you to know about. This letter was probably an open circular letter to the 7 churches you see in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. It was to Asia Minor, and the word to the saints in Ephesus, the word Ephesus in the early manuscripts is not there. It was to this city and to this glorious church. It's an awesome church you can read about in Acts 19, but it wasn't just to them. It was to Laodicea, it was to Smyrna, it was to Pergamum. It's to us, obviously. But it was a circular letter, and he's saying this, you got to know the glory of being in Christ. Fight for that. You then got to practically walk this out. Don't just rest on you've got it settled. You got to walk this out in your practical life. It should affect the way you talk, the way you see, what you taste, how you love, and all these relationships. It's important. But at the end of this, I want you to know this. You're not alone. This isn't a vacuum of you in life just trying to make decisions for God and walking from Him. You got an enemy. You got an enemy that's trying to get you to move, to try to get you to fall down. I want you to stand. I want you to stand and withstand the onslaught of an enemy that was raging against your grandparents, Adam and Eve, in Genesis 3, 6,000 years ago. He was raging against them, and he has been doing that all the time here for 6,000 years. He's good at it. And he says that it's an elaborate kingdom, and you're going to be tempted to think that it's flesh and blood, that your biggest problem is the people around you and your boss, the people in your home. You're going to think that's your main problem, and I want you to know that that's not your main problem. And I want to call you to begin to have a perspective to where you wrestle not against that stuff. I want you to respond actually to enemies by loving them. I love Romans chapter 12. It says, avenge not yourself, even against your enemies, but give room, give place to the Lord to avenge. The Lord says, it's mine to avenge. I'll take care of that stuff. I want you to love your enemies. But I do want you to battle against the enemy of your souls. We live, and I have lived, at a major level of ignorance about this warfare. I've been so intimidated by, I know I've told this story before, but people that went so to the extreme about this demon stuff that I'd heard the story of a pastor couple walking with a gal and she tripped on the concrete and they started to, you know, they started casting out the spirit of clumsiness out of her. And I'm like, that seems so beyond the biblical witness of what we're battling. From what I understand from the scriptures, the main things that the enemy is doing is lying. He's a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning, and he's the father of all lies, and he's lying continually. He's releasing that lie. And with that lying, he wants to kill, steal, and destroy something. It's us. It's our faith. It's the glory of God. And so this is where our focus should be. We're not, you know, going after just clumsiness or forgetfulness. And I know there's some in the body of Christ. I honestly think it's demons making us not do that stuff, and the Lord knows. He'll work that out. But I know this, that the one piece of armor here to where it talks about what it does is the shield of faith in verse 16. The shield of faith is having to deal with these things called fiery missiles. And we talked about this last week. And I just want to stir your hearts again with this. And I believe it with all my heart. I'm just a fellow believer with you on a journey in the midst of a war. I believe that there are more fiery darts and arrows flying than we are aware of. I believe that there's more spiritual warfare happening than we're all aware of. I believe that we need to take responsibility for what's ours. If I sin, it's me that sinned. I don't blame the devil. I chose to do that. But the invitation to sin, the seduction to sin, the accelerating of culture and atmosphere and thinking around sin, there's a lot of devil in that. There's a lot of Satan coming against me and you with a ministry of words to try to get us to be removed from our faith. And it's brutal. The first sections of this thing, the three parts of the armor, which we're to take up, are truth, righteousness, and fitted readiness for the gospel. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, here's what we know Paul means by truth. This is it. But that is not the way you learned Christ. The way he was talking before. 21, assuming that you have heard about him, you were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is not a set of bullet point doctrines, although those can contain truth, all right? That's not the central meaning of what the scripture says about truth. Truth is a person. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. I'm the way, I'm the truth in thy life. I believe that Paul believes that what truth is everything that is real and genuine, everything that is manifested about Jesus. Jesus himself is truth. When it says put on the belt of truth, what he's saying is put on Christ. Put on Jesus. Have a life and a mind that's fully focused upon the person of Jesus. Your place in him, his place in you. His righteousness earned for you that's free, and your acts of righteousness from that. It's both. The breastplate of righteousness, I believe, is the free gift of righteousness given to me in Christ. And then it is me walking out the acts of righteousness, prayer, fasting, giving, acts of holiness, service. All right? It's both, but it's all centered in Jesus. The enemy actually, the full thing that he's trying to do is trying to get you distracted from the person of Jesus Christ. He hates him. He's raging against him. He wants you outside of life in him. You want to know the goal of every lie, every trouble that's happening in you? Try to get your faith and focus off Jesus. That's what it is. It's not just trying to ruin your good Christian life, ruin your American dream. You know, it's all about trying to get your focus off of Jesus and who you are in him. It's attacks at the identity of who he is and his goodness and faithfulness, and attacks about who you are in him. Listen, you got to hear me. Everything that's happening that's a fiery missile, and you're getting a lot of them, funky suggestions, words and ideas that are going through your mind, they are to get and shift you off of a focus on and embracing the fullness of who Jesus is in a personal way. He's the truth. He's the righteousness. His mission of taking his gospel peace is what we're to be about. The enemy's trying to get you off that. He wants you focused on yourself. That's why you get ideas. I can't spend time praying. It's a waste. I can't spend time word. I got to worry about my money. You're hearing all kinds of counsels. We talked about last week. You're getting a lot of devotional material from the dark side. He's giving you things to meditate on, to think on, to, you know, and it's your choice. What will you do with it? I believe as a believer that you have full authority over all the power of the enemy. There is nothing greater is he that's in us than he's in the world. Amen, everybody? No one has to fear, but you do have to be alert. You have to be stealthy in discernment. You've got to know what's coming into your mind, because not everything that's passing through your brain is coming from the Lord. Not everything that's coming from the mouth of even friends and people close is coming from the Lord. Jesus had that discernment with Peter. He could see him. I love you. You're not going to die on the cross. Jesus, yeah, you got in mind the things of man. Get behind me, Satan. You got to have that kind of discernment about what's happening. So he puts those three things out there first, and a radical focus on Jesus and being appropriated with him and having him on us. Then he gets to, and this is our main thing, the shield of faith. The practical thing in all circumstances, you got to take up a shield of faith. You got to have a helmet of salvation around your mind, and you've got to be wielding the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is that word of God that's manifesting. I want you to pray at all times over all these things. The only, again, piece of armor that says what it is the shield of faith. It blocks these fiery arrows and these missiles. And just to say it again, said it last week, said it in the midweek, and I'm going to say it again. The context is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. A shield of faith is produced by the words of God. That's what it is. Okay? This isn't some special shield that drops. All right? It's a practical building of faith that's produced from the word of God. God's not asking you to sit in a chair and work up faith for what you're going through. He's got a promise for everything you're going through. He's got a covenant promise. He's got an answer for every part of it. You take word and it builds faith. On the inverse, what's the power behind it? What are the fiery missiles? What are these fiery arrows? Are words. Words are what build the shield of faith, and words are what build the fiery arrows that have come to destroy us. Words of the enemy. And you've got a war of words happening. Words from God coming, and you've got words coming from the enemy. It's happening in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve have heard the word of God and they're living by faith. Then comes that serpent, and here come words. Words are the attack of the enemy, the lies. Jesus is in a desert starving to death. The word of God is ministering, the Spirit of God to him. He's living by faith. The Lord led him. And then here comes that devil. And I wonder how you think he manifested. Do you see a guy with a pitchfork in a red suit with horns? I wonder. What do you see? Do you see a snake that begins to... I don't know. But we don't get an image of the devil, and I think that's awesome. Because really, it's not about the image of the devil. It's the communication of the devil. It's the enemy's lies. If you're the Son of God, I'm going to attack your identity. If you're really this, then go do this. If you're really this, jump off that. And he twists the scriptures to do it. The devil will use the Bible to manipulate you, to get you outside of Jesus and outside of who you are in him. And here come these fiery missiles. Words are what we're battling against. It's what we're working with. And so I want to encourage you this morning around this practically. The shield of faith that's built by words, and the flaming darts are built by the words of the evil one. It's not accidental, obviously, that the Holy Spirit uses arrows or uses darts. Because really there's a lot communicated in that all every commentator I read talked about. The reason this is used is because they come with speed. An arrow comes with speed, just out of nowhere, bam! I don't know if you've ever had that. People told me, I got this thought out of nowhere, and it was crazy. Shoot, I was in the prayer room this morning, and one of the guys said, last night I got this ridiculous thought I haven't had like forever, and it just flashed in my mind, a temptation to immorality and to a vision like that. They come with speed. They come from another source. They inflame what they hit. They're burning. The goal is not just to hit you, it's to set you on fire. The enemy wants to set you on fire in your passions and lust. He wants to stir that up so you're burning, and a little spark becomes a bonfire. And they must have, to exist and to be successful, must have something combustible, all right, to burn. They must have, it must find a place. And I love this passage, and I'll give you this really quickly. In John 14, 30, Jesus says, I'll no longer talk with you much, for the ruler of this world's coming, but he has no claim on me. A couple of other versions say, the enemy's come, but he has no place in me. He has no ground inside me. And the only way that happens is that you're being diligent about your heart. Your heart, I'm wondering, is your heart, I remember seeing people that shoot arrows and you'd make out of bales of hay, you know, put a target on there. I'm wondering, is your heart a place ready to burn from the enemy or ready to burn? It's already burning from the Lord. The word of the Lord is warm in your heart. I know this, and lukewarm people have a lot of stuff to burn inside them from the enemy. There's a lot. You being half lackadaisical about the Lord allows fiery missiles to come in and really begin to burn inside you. So the thing we're called to do really is to give ourselves fully to Jesus in the truth, in righteousness, and walking that. Take up that shield of faith. And we begin to do this. The shield of faith is an active faith in the moment of attack. The helmet of salvation is a salvation of the mind. Oh, I wish I had more time to do this, but it's a salvation of the mind. You need salvation of your soul, but you've got to get salvation of your mind. Our minds are the battlefield. And the sword of the Spirit is the act of believing, speaking, and attacking with the Word of God. So, practically, to win this battle... Well, let me ask this real quick, and then I'll do it. And just, you're going to have to give me 5 extra minutes. I'll pay you back sometime. Maybe. Listen to me. Has anyone in here experienced a fiery missile or arrow being shot into your brain the last month? If you have, say, oh my. Yeah, probably this morning, right? There's arrows flying through this room right now. I'm not going to make the noise, although I'm good at it, Joe. There's arrows flying. They're flying through this room. The enemy hates us. Praise God, we're free and we're protected. But we're not supposed to just languish around while Jesus has a protective bubble over us. He's called us to fight. He's called us to be part of this fight. He's called us to personal stewardship with all that he's provided. You do not have to settle for crazy thoughts, suggestive evil things. You will have to deal with it every day on planet Earth for the rest of your life until you get the resurrection body and Jesus ends this deal. So you must be girded up. How do I do that? Number one, to win the battle, we must be deeply and experientially rooted in Jesus. I don't know how else to tell you that you've got to go after Jesus. It's the first thing for warfare is you go to the captain, the army of the host. You find life in him. Number two, we must discern the flaming arrows immediately. Identify immediately the source of the thought. Often we don't do that. The thought comes in your brain and we choose to meditate it, chew on it. I wonder if that person is going to fail me. I wonder if I will starve to death and the paycheck won't come in. That's an interesting thought. Anybody with me? I wonder if I should go alone in that room and satisfy my pleasure because, you know, who's going to see and I'll move on. I wonder if my wife will never change and I've wasted my life with this marriage. That's an interesting thought. We got to... Eve stopped and began to meditate on what the devil said. The devil said, did God really say? No, he didn't. You know what she did? She began to meditate. She entered the conversation. She went, and it got injected. A fiery arrow was the first one out of the... whatever that's called that holds arrows. Quiver. Out of the quiver, we see it in Genesis 3. He pulls it, and it was this. Did God really say? And bam, it hit on Eve. And she didn't extinguish that thing. She entered into the conversation.
You know what he did? He did say, don't eat it and don't touch it. And he knew he had her. He knew he had her because she's meditating. They're having a Bible study together. They're having a meditation moment together. And then the devil answers back, no, he's not. You're not going to. You're going to become more like God. You're made in the image of God. He's going to fulfill you. You're going to get more fulfillment through this, Eve. God's holding back how he made you.
And she meditates, and then they move. Listen,
you can't meditate on these arrows. You can't. You got to identify the thought immediately and go, that's junk. That's from the enemy. Does everybody, you know what I'm saying?
You're not gonna win this if you let the thing hit, burn for a while, and then you deal with it later. You got to immediately grab that thing, discern it, identify it, the source, okay? Then number three, we must walk with a saved mind, a delivered mind where there's no ground for the enemy. Meaning your mind, you got to say it's illegal for that thought to germinate here. I'm not going to let that thing walk around in my little brain. And I know you're laughing at the little brain. I'm not going to let that happen inside me. You got to begin to put parameters around, and Jesus has done this by salvation. You get the mind of Christ. You've got discernment. You know when those thoughts are wrong. You know it. The spirit within you knows when it comes to you and says, you're going to be a failure. You're never going to make it. People are going to fail. You're not good enough to, you're predisposed towards sin more than those other people. You're just bent different. You're bent to homosexuality. You're bent to immorality. You're bent toward lying. It's a lie. It's a lie. You know it's a lie. It's what you'll do with that arrow. That's the deal. You got to discern it. You got to say, my mind will not dwell on that immediately. And we must offensively speak the word as a confession of faith that breaks the power of the lies of the enemy. And let me end here. Jonathan and team, come on, saddle up. You've got a great book. Has anybody seen this book, The Bible? Awesome stuff. Really, I recommend it highly. Okay? Within it is an arsenal of promises that will lead you to victory in all things. It's full of power. There's also other little books. I've got this little book right here, this little pocket knife. It's called God's Promises. And what I'm doing is it's broken to categories. Fear, you can get to it. Money, lust, pride. It's got a series, pages of just promises. I'm just meditating. Last night at 2:30, I woke up being attacked by the enemy. It was ridiculous. I wouldn't even have a thought. I went to bed good, prayed for my sermon. Bam, woke up. I reached over, trembling hand, got my phone light on so I didn't wake Amy up, and got some promises. I got the little earphones into my phone, got scripture going into my head, and started reading some promises and started quoting them and praising the Lord. And this thing lifted off of me that had fallen on me. Because I decided, I'm not going to do this. I've done it too long. I've waited for it to go away or wear off too long. And I'm tired of the brush fire. I'm tired of the stuff burning. I want to address this immediately. So get these promises. Get promises in your for every attack of the enemy. We should have that promise. And I want to encourage you this, to speak that out. Jesus spoke it out loud. He said, God said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he drove the tip of that sword right into the heart of the enemy. This stuff's got authority on it. And we can exercise that. And I want to encourage you to begin to be more speakers and meditators upon the word and to use it. We're not just learning theology. We're being armed for war through the word of God. It's a glorious thing. And so I want to encourage you around that. Let's pray, and then you guys do what you do. Just give us 3 to 5 minutes here. Father, in the name of Jesus, anoint and bless this impartation of a kingdom declaration. We thank you that you have revealed to us there's a war. We pray that the ignorance of the war would be removed from us. We pray that diligence would arise, that we wouldn't be lazy soldiers or AWOL soldiers, that we'd be aware of the war that's happening around us. And that, Lord, we declare by faith that your kingdom is here and that you win in Jesus' name.